There's quite a few school teachers in this congregation. I originally started out as a teacher, school teacher. It's hard work. Don't be deceived. It's not a half-day job. That's very deceptive. It's very much an 18-hour-a-day job. Well, a school teacher injured his back, and he had to wear a plaster cast around the upper part of his body for weeks. It fit under his shirt, so it wasn't really noticeable. And then he was transferred to an inner city school, a very tough school. And when he started there, he still had this plaster cast under his shirt. But he was also assigned to the toughest kids in the school. So he confidently walked into the classroom, which was very rowdy. He opened the windows, and when he went up to his desk and he started stapling things together on his desk and working around the desk, and when a breeze blew through the window, it flapped his tie about, so he took the stapler and stapled it to his chest. He never had any trouble with the children in his class ever. I don't suggest you try that, teachers. Or you could have been the hunter that was walking around in the woods and he met with a bear. And this bear was tired of the hunters hunting him every season. So he boldly went up to the hunter and said, "What do you want?" And the hunter, taken aback for a moment, said to him, "Well, all I want is a fur coat." And the bear said to him, "Well, all I want is a full stomach, so perhaps we can come to some kind of arrangement." And after a while, all that was left of the hunter was his gun. And the bear walked away. And if you think about it, they were both successful. Because the hunter had a fur coat, and the bear had a full stomach. You know, success doesn't always come the way we anticipate that it should. The hunter was successful, but he didn't anticipate how he would get his fur coat. Now, if you think of Joseph in the book of Genesis, he probably could identify with both of these two stories. He probably felt many times that he had to face down a bear. And the problem just never went away. The first bear he had to encountered was the bear of jealousy with his brothers. That jealousy was so intense that he eventually ended up in a pit. And then he was dragged off to Egypt. And then eventually he was falsely accused of something that he did not do, by a perfidious woman. And then in prison, Joseph finally thought he was going to get out of the belly of this bear, only to find that he did not, even though he helped someone to get out. That did not work either. So by the time we get to Genesis chapter 40, Joseph was sitting in prison, and I'm sure at this stage he was probably wondering, "Hasn't God chosen me? When I was a young boy, back in my father's house, hadn't he given me dreams? But why is it that nothing that I have encountered has ever been that seems beneficial to me? It's all bad. Nothing is good. How is God going to accomplish his will if everything is always going wrong? This is not possible. Surely God does not work this way." And I'm sure we all have felt that way. You face to face with the bear, toe toe-to-toe with the bed. Bad breath to bad breath with the bed. And you've got nowhere to run. The faster you run, the bear's right there, on your heels. And as you run, the tireder you become, and the hungrier the bear becomes. So you're trapped. If we read in Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 to 14, it reads, "Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they'd been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, 'Why are your faces so sad today?' 'We both had dreams,' they answered, 'but there's no one to interpret them.' Then Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams.' So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, 'In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put them in his hand.' 'This is what it means,' Joseph said. 'The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand, just as you used to do as his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison.'" Now, we know the story. We all know what happened. The cupbearer went back to his position and the baker lost his head. And it was only when Pharaoh himself had a dream, and we know that dream too, of the fat cows and the skinny cows, and the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and I really can't understand how cows eat cows, but anyway, that's what happened. And then the wheat, fat wheat ate the skinny wheat, and I think I would have also been perplexed had I had this dream. And the Pharaoh calls all his interpreters of dreams, his magicians, and they perplexed and they cannot answer the dream. And suddenly it occurs to the baker, the cupbearer, "Oh, wait a minute, I know a man. Let's call him." So they go to the prison, they shake Joseph out of his bed, drag him out of there, wash him, shave him, shave his head, because he was in a dungeon. Can you imagine what he looked like? I don't think it looked like the prisons we have seen on TV. He had a long beard and long hair, and he was filthy, and probably long, clawy nails. That's just the image I have. Whether he really did, I don't know. However, he could not appear before Pharaoh like that. So they cleaned him up, and he was called into Pharaoh's service with no warning. You see, Joseph was called to give an interpretation without even knowing where he was going. He did not have time to go to Donald, to look up all the books on dream interpretations, study up on them. He didn't have time to fast and pray. He didn't have time to to make right with the people that he had offended. He didn't have time to get his life right with God. He was called into the presence of Pharaoh and he was asked to give an account. Now, we can see from the account that obviously Joseph had to have been right with God every day of his life, even in the situation that he found himself in. He didn't have to do all of these things first. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You need to have an answer. This is what the word says. Always have an answer. You needn't have to wait to give that answer. You ought to be ready to give that answer. But most of the time when God chooses us, it's not in our time. It's not a suitable time for us. He doesn't check our agenda. He doesn't check our timetable. He doesn't wonder first if it's going to be okay with you. God uses us according to his purpose, his plan, and his timetable. We need to be spiritually ready at all times. When the Jehovah Witnesses knock at your gate, because they won't get to your door, or the Mormons come to you, you don't have to first go and study up on the word and wonder exactly what it is. Do I believe that they don't believe, or what do they believe that I don't? And actually, you know, maybe they're right. They sound so convincing. Perhaps all roads do lead to God after all. We need to know what we believe. You need to have these issues settled in your heart. Or when you're at work and a co-worker comes to you and they're having problems in their home or in their marriage, and it suddenly occurs to you, wait a minute, I need to make right with my own spouse. You can't say to them, well, hold on a second, I just need to make a phone call so that you can make right. You need to be right. You need to keep your heart right with the Lord all the time, because we never know. We never know when God is going to call on us to be of service to him. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. We need to keep the lines of communication open with God. Between God and us, the lines of communication need to be open all the time. We must never let anything come between us and him. Joseph had a lot of things that he could have allowed to get in the way. It had been 2 years since the cupbearer had his interpretation and been back in the service of Pharaoh. 2 years that Joseph had been left back in the prison, totally forgotten. The cupbearer had gone back to his old life, his old friends, his old ways, his old job. It never occurred to him to give one moment's thought to the man that had interpreted his dream. Considering everything that had happened, if this had been you, how would you have reacted? Would you have been angry or bitter or resentful? You know, Joseph could have said, you know, you Egyptians, ever since I got here, you have done nothing but mistreat me. Look what you've done to me, and now you want me to help you? Isn't that our normal reaction when somebody wrongs us? Mr. Butler, did I not interpret your dream? And did you even remember my name? He could have reacted that way. But then, God would not have been able to use him in a miraculous way. And this is what we need to remember when we have been wronged. We cannot be used by God when we are carrying those things that we were called on this morning to lay at his feet. We always come expecting to be ministered to. But do we come ever expecting to be the minister that ministers to someone else, ready to help someone around us? You know, once Joseph was cleaned up and he changed his clothes, he had no idea where they were taking him. They didn't say, oh, well, you know, Joseph, come sit down a minute. We need to talk to you. It wasn't until he came into the presence of Pharaoh did he realize what he was called on to do. He might have thought that up until that moment, well, finally I'm getting my day in court. He didn't realize it had nothing to do with him whatsoever. You see, we tend to think everything's about us. But it's not. It's all about God and his purposes. Joseph was surprised to find himself in the presence of Pharaoh. And now all the cards were on the table. Here were these magicians that were standing there, actually hoping that he wouldn't be able to interpret this dream. Because who was he? This man with a foreign god. While the cupbearer was probably wringing his hands in the corner thinking, oh, if this man doesn't come through for me today, my head is going to go the same way as the baker. Why would these Egyptians want to know anything about a god that was foreign to them when they had so many of their own? They anticipated their failure. There were some that even hoped for his failure. And every eye was on Joseph. And he realized that an opportunity like this would not come along again. He had to make the most of it. But how would he answer Pharaoh? If he didn't answer Pharaoh correctly, he would be lost. However, if he was successful, he would be rewarded. He would not go back to prison. His suffering would be over. But as Joseph stood there and he listened to this, he said to Pharaoh, I can't do it. I can't answer your question. Can you imagine the gasp that must have gone up at that moment? You don't admit your weaknesses before the king. You might know in your heart that you couldn't do it, but you kept that to yourself. Weaknesses were not something that you openly declared. And if we are honest with ourselves, that is how we live our lives today. We don't openly declare our weaknesses because we will be eaten alive. It would be like inviting the piranha to come and feast on you. We need to be in control. No matter how fearful we are, we might be trembling on the inside, but on the outside, we walk tall, never declaring our weaknesses. But you know the amazing fact about God, those people of God that God has chosen to be his princes, have one thing in common. They recognize that they have not achieved what they have because of their own ability, but because of the power of God flowing through them. Admitting our weaknesses to God is the only way to allow God's power to flow through us. We feel as if to make it in life, we need to keep those weaknesses to ourselves. But the opposite is what God is telling us to do. To openly declare our weaknesses to Him so that He can fill us with His power. You know, it's dangerous to put ourselves in a position where we feel and we talk and we act as if we have no weaknesses. In the lesson of Life's Academy, the mother whale taught her daughter a valuable lesson. Those who swim to the top and blow their own horn are likely to get harpooned. We don't have to be strong to make it through life. That's the opposite to what the world is telling us. We just have to plug ourselves in to the right power source. When we recognize how weak we are, and we reach out to the one with unlimited power. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." We're in a power crisis every day of our lives. Every single one of us, we find ourselves in a power crisis. You rely on yourself with a tiny little battery. Some batteries are so tiny that you can barely pick them up. And that's the kind of power we have. The smallest battery that you can possibly think of, that's the kind of power we have. And that is the type of kind of power we try to use every day of our lives. When we can plug ourselves into a nuclear power station, the power of God. Isaiah 40:29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases their strength. Joseph knew where he received his power from. He wasn't afraid that anyone was going to listen or would listen or wouldn't listen. He knew who his power source was. This God that he served was different to the other gods. He'd lived in Egypt long enough to know that these Egyptians didn't want to hear about his foreign God. But he had also lived in the presence of God long enough to know that the only way that Pharaoh was going to find relief from his present position was because of the power of God. And when we recognize what God has done in our past, the power we desire now will be unlimited. Obviously, Pharaoh accepted his answer that he gave about his God in order for him to listen to what Joseph had to say about this dream. Because up until that point, Pharaoh had gone to man for his answers. And we go to man very often for the answers that we need. Very often God creates a situation in our life that causes us to seek out someone that can give an answer to our need. But I'm telling you tonight that you are the person to which the people in need need to come to. You are the ones that need to be plugged into the power of God so that when there are needs among the people, they know where to come. They know where they will get an answer. They know where the answer of God will come from. God needs people like you and like me, that are plugged into the power of God. Not people that are going to people, but people that are going to the people of God. Perhaps God is speaking to you personally tonight. He's trying to get your attention. He's unsettling your spirit right now, making you a messenger the same way as Joseph was, because he's telling you you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared every day, every week, every hour, because you don't know when God is going to call on you to be of service to Him. Joseph went from being a prisoner to a prince in a day. He can do the same for you. This morning God said, bring your problems to me. Surrender them to me. And He's asking you, He's asking me to surrender to Him so that we can be of service to Him. And this is the message from God this day. Plug into the power. Father God, we thank and praise You that You always have a message for Your people. And I pray this over each person here tonight, Lord God, that Your voice will be heard tonight. That, Father God, that each person will avail themselves to be used of You. That they will surrender the things, Lord God, that are holding them back in order that You can fill those places so that they can be used of You. I ask this tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.